Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Father, thank you, Lord, for opening our understanding towards the supernatural parts of Christianity that many people ignore. Thank you for doing this, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we're going to talk about angels and their purpose. And how they relate to us as holy messengers from the Lord. In Hebrews 1:13-14, "But of which of the angels hath he said at any time, Sit thou on my right hand, till I make thine enemies the footstool of thy feet?" In other words, the angels aren't in a command position. You know, they are under the authority of God. And as you're going to see, they're going to be under the authority of men too, who speak for God, not speak for themselves. "Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to do service for the sake of them that shall inherit salvation?" Well, let me say, who is it that relates best to angels and needs the most angels? What's their ministry and service to us? John was told the heavenly Jerusalem was the bride coming down out of heaven, born from above, in other words. And here they are fellowshipping with innumerable hosts of angels. Hebrews 12:22, "But you are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable hosts of angels." So who relates best to the angels who lead the obedient Christians to part of the bride city of God? Well, it would be the bride, because they believe in angels. They know that their ministry all through the scriptures has not changed, and they're believers in the word of God. Deuteronomy 7:20, "Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee by the way." Okay, so if he said it to them, is it true of us? Well, of course. I asked the head of the UBM angels, "Are you this angel to me?" And he said, yes. Many times the enemy has tried to harm or even to kill me, but like Psalm 91 says, he keeps us from injury. My angel has saved me many times, and what is this angel for? Well, it goes on to say, "And to bring thee into the place which I have prepared." So he keeps us and brings us to our promised land, physically and spiritually. In other words, conquering our flesh man and his spirits until we have rest from our enemies and we obey God through him, right? So let's see more about this. Verse 21, "Take ye heed before him and hearken unto his voice. Provoke him not." Hearken unto his voice. Why? Because it is the voice of God through him. As we will see, if we don't listen to him, he is provoked. Because it goes on to say, "For he will not pardon your transgression." So he will spank us when we do not listen to the voice of the Lord through them, right? Sometimes people call this an accident, but it is not. Goes on to say, "For my name is in him," meaning the nature, character, and authority. That's the meaning of what the word name is. "Of the Lord is in him." He represents the Lord to you and must be respected. Verse 22 goes on, "But if thou shalt indeed hearken unto his voice and do all that I speak." Well, notice, God speaks to us through his angel, who speaks to us through our conscience and to give direction from the Lord. Many entertain angels unawares, the Bible says. So Satan tells the wicked that angels don't converse with men, which flies in the face of the whole Bible. These people don't believe in angels because they speak against them and their sins, which they witness every day. So if we listen to the Lord through his angel, God goes on to say, "Then will I be an enemy unto thine enemies." So obviously the enemies in the wicked people do not want you to believe in angels, right? "I will be an enemy unto thine enemies and an adversary unto thine adversaries." So we are always to try the spirits to see if they agree with the word, right? "For mine angel shall go before thee and bring thee in unto the Amorite, the Hittite, the Perizzite, and the Canaanite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite, and I will cut them off." So basically that angel is going to lead you to cut off the old man of our land and the factious enemies who attempt to deceive, control, and spiritually or physically harm us. The Lord said to me, "A Christian who falls into faction no longer has a good angel, but is under fallen angels or demons, as Hermas, Revelation says. And of course, the enemies cannot match wits nor power with God's angels. 24. Thou shalt not bow down to their gods nor serve them." In other words, do not serve the lusts of the old man's demons. That's right. That's their gods. They're impersonating God, right? "Nor do after their works, but thou shalt utterly overthrow them and break in pieces their pillars. And you shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. There shall none cast her young, nor be barren in thy land. The number of thy days I will fulfill. I will send my terror before thee." So we just read that our angel is before us, right? "And will discomfit," it says, meaning to confuse, scatter, frustrate, embarrass, defeat the plans of all the people to whom thou shalt come, "and I will make all thine enemies turn their backs unto thee." Meaning they will run from us, for they are uncomfortable around us, and especially their demons are uncomfortable around our angels. "And I will send a hornet before thee." Well, notice that Father will send the angel, terror, and the hornet, which is also terror, before us against our enemies. The angel will manifest terror and fear to our enemies. The Lord has spoken to me several times concerning the factions, saying, "They fear you, David." One reason for this is because they have seen what the Lord's angels have done to destroy them and their friends. We are always sad to see this and pray that they will repent and be saved, but we have no authority to wrestle with flesh and blood except to agree with the Lord, so they should fear him. And it goes on to say, "which shall drive out the Hivite, the Canaanite, and the Hittite from before thee." That's those old man that dwells in your land, that wants to rule your land, your flesh, right? These are the natural people in the promised land that had to be driven out so that the Israelite could rule there. Well, notice that the human enemies and their gods, the fallen angels, cannot stand before the angels of God when we are in obedience and speak his word. Psalm 103, 20 and 21. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that are mighty in strength, that fulfill his word, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all ye his hosts, you ministers of his, that do his pleasure. Amen. Verse 29. I will not drive them out from before thee in 1 year, lest the land become desolate, and the beasts of the field multiply against thee. Well, Father keeps us humble by giving us an enemy so that we are not lifted up by pride and are dependent on and submissive to him. Satan was very proud of his beauty and authority and became puffed up and wanting to take God's place or usurp authority, right? So every factious person receives witchcraft, faction, and slander. One of the most recent ones stated that he could make anyone do what he wanted them to do. That's demonic. That is witchcraft and lying pride too. Verse 30, by little and little I will drive them out from before thee. So this method of driving the enemies out keeps us humble and dependent upon God. Until thou be increased and inherit the land. In other words, your spirit man is now ruling in your land, which is, what is the land? What is your body made from? The land, right? It's the land. So the land here is twofold. The natural land that the Lord has promised us will be rid of the enemies, and the spiritual land of the natural man must be delivered from the lusts of the flesh. And I will set thy border from the Red Sea even unto the Sea of the Philistines, and from the wilderness unto the river, for I will deliver the inhabitants of the land into your hand, and thou shalt drive them out before thee. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor with their gods. So have no agreement with their idols and unfruitful works of darkness. Shun them as commanded, or they will leaven you. Right? 33. They shall not dwell in thy land, lest they make thee sin against me. For if thou serve their gods or demons, it will surely be a snare unto thee. Well, fortunately, they always run to their own kind when they're discovered. 2 John 1:10-11 says, if anyone cometh unto you and bringeth not this teaching, receive him not into your house, and give him no greeting, for he that giveth him greeting partaketh in his evil works. So notice, even greeting them can cause you to be infected with their demons. You have no respect for them whatsoever. Angels appeared to bring promises to Abraham and to hear his requests. Genesis 18:1. And the Lord appeared unto him by the oaks of Mamre, as he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood over against him. Well, as we will see, one was the Lord and two were angels, and all were manifested in apparent flesh, right? I say apparent flesh, okay? And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself to the earth. He recognized something there that normally people wouldn't recognize, and said, my Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let now a little water be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree, and I will fetch a morsel of bread, and strengthen ye your heart. After that you shall pass on, for as much as you are come to your servant. And they said, so do as thou hast said. So he recognized them, and of course they recognized him. So here we see that Abraham spoke to the Lord, And he spoke to the angels respectfully, and they answered him. The wicked agree that we can't talk to angels, but they talk to and hear from fallen angels that accuse us. Verse 6, and Abraham hastened. What did he hasten to do? Well, it was to prepare a meal for them, which they ate. Verse 10. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee when the season cometh round, and lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. Another miracle. And Sarah heard in the tent door which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age. It had ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. And Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh? Well, she laughed inside her mind, but they heard it. Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child who am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Well, we know the Lord and his angels object to unbelief. Okay. And the men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom. And Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that which I do? Well, obviously not. And because he raised his children who came after him to know and to follow the Lord, as we can see here, verse 18. Seeing that Abraham had surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. Well, verse 19. For I have known him to the end, that he may command his children and his household after him, that they may keep the way of the Lord, to do righteousness and justice, to the end that the Lord may bring Abraham that which has been spoken of him. May bring upon Abraham that which has been spoken of him. In other words, the promises will be fulfilled. So fathers gave charges to their children in those days after them, and when they obeyed, they received the promises. Verse 20. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous. Well, as we will see, they were full of lusts and were sexual perverts, just as many in the faction in church and state are now. Have you noticed? I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is come unto me, and if not, I will know. And the men turned from thence and went toward Sodom. So the two angels went to judge Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. So the Lord was distinguished from the other two men, quote unquote. And Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou consume the righteous with the wicked? He had an internal understanding of that's what they had come for. Abraham, who was called God's friend, reasoned with him. As glorious as he is, he still listens to his friends. Verse 24, peradventure there are 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou consume and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? The Lord listened to his faithful friend. 26. And the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all of the place for their sake. And Abraham answered and said, Behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, who am but dust and ashes. I can understand that. Peradventure there shall lack 5 of the 50 righteous. Wilt thou destroy all of the city for lack of 5? And he said, I will not destroy it if I find there 45. And he spake unto him yet again and said, Peradventure there shall be found 40 there. And he said, I will not do it for the 40's sake. And he said, Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Peradventure there shall be 30 found there. He said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. And he said, Behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord. Peradventure there shall be 20 found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for the 20's sake. And he said, Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet but this once. Peradventure 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it if for the 10's sake. Well, Abraham was pretty nervy, but because he was a faithful friend, the Lord listened and probably did what he planned to do all along anyway, right? And the Lord went his way, and soon as he had left off communing with Abraham, and Abraham returned to his place. Genesis 19 and 1. And the two angels, so the Lord left the judgment to the two angels, right? Came to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot saw them, and rose up to meet them. And he bowed himself with his face to the earth, and he said, Behold now, my lords, turn aside, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night. He knew that these men, quote-unquote, were different. He also knew the city and the predators that live there, right? And wash your feet, and you shall rise up early and go on your way. And they said, Nay, but we will abide in the street all night. Ooh, do you suppose they wanted him to see that he shouldn't live and raise children in such a place? Neither should we have fellowship with predators. Come out of the Sodom and Gomorrah cities, for God will destroy them. Verse 3, And he urged them greatly, and they turned in unto him, and entered into his house, and he made them a feast, and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house around both young and old, and all the people from every quarter. So young and old, all were demonized, perverted, predators, like we have known. Yes. And they called unto Lot, and said unto him, Where are the men that came in to thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. And Lot went out unto them to the door, and shut the door after him. And he said, I pray you, my brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold now, I have 2 daughters. They have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye also to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for as much as they are come under the shadow of my roof. Well, Lot really didn't know the power of God the way Abraham did, the power of God over these devils, or this would not have been an alternative. You say, why would he do that? Yeah, exactly. And they said, stand back. And they said, this one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. That's what they always accuse you of, judging them, right? Now will we deal worse with thee than with them. So they accused him of judging them, and rightly so, So they admitted that they would do evil to them all, and that was because they had no conscience, just as today. And they pressed sore upon the man, and even Lot, and drew near to break the door. But the men, that is the angels, put forth their hand and brought Lot into the house to them, and shut the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness. They were all smitten with spiritual blindness, justifying themselves anyway, weren't they? Both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. You mean they're turned blind and they're still trying to find the door? That's the driving demons within. And the men said unto Lot, Hast thou here any besides, son-in-law, and thy sons, and thy daughters, and whomsoever thou hast in this city? Bring them out of the place. So the angels were going to spare their relatives and friends from the destruction of Sodom. So where are the biggest Sodoms in the U.S.? Well, it's very obvious that they're in the blue cities where all the crime is, because the lawmakers are just like the criminals. And that's why they defend them, and that's why they don't prosecute them. They can't prosecute them because they are doing the same things. Do you think the angels can get your relatives and friends and Christians out of these Sodom and Gomorrah cities before this judgment comes? 13. For we will destroy this place because the cry of them is waxed great before the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, who married his daughters, and said, Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy the city. But he seemed unto his son-in-law as one that mocked. His sons-in-law as one that mocked. It seems that they had become leavened by the evil place, evil people. So get out and don't raise children and then, of course, grandchildren in such a place. Think about the future, you know. You raise them in that place, guess what? They're going to be leavened by that place. Come out from among them. 15 says, And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters that are here. So the others didn't believe or leave. Lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. A little leaven, of course, leavens the whole lump, the Bible says. But he lingered, and the men, the angels, laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. So the angels didn't take no for an answer because of the word to Abraham and because of Lot. And of course, your prayers can do the same for your relatives if you are a faithful person, right? And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, Escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all of the plain. In other words, separate from among the perverted people, or be destroyed with them. Don't look back in pity upon them. God is their enemy and yours. Escape to the mountains, lest thou be consumed. So flee to the heavenly places above this world, and these, especially these wicked cities. And Lot said unto them, Oh, not so, my Lord. Behold now, thy servant hath found favor in thy sight. Favor is grace, right? So did his wife count on this greasy grace when she willfully disobeyed and looked back? It goes on to say, And thou hast magnified thy loving kindness, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life. And I cannot escape to the mountain, lest evil overtake me and I die. So God saved him, and he was still self-willed. He felt he couldn't reach the high place in God before judgment fell. He was told to go to higher ground. Behold now, this city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one? Well, a little one. That seems to say that a few will escape by grace. A few of the wicked will escape by grace. And my soul shall live. And he said unto him, See, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, and I will not overthrow the city of which thou hast spoken. So grace was given to one little city that was not high ground and would have been destroyed like the rest. But it got angelic protection because of Lot and family. Verse 22, Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything until thou come hither. Well, as Abraham was promised, right? Mm-hmm. Therefore, the name of the city was called Zoar, meaning little. In other words, a small remnant who escapes on low ground. So the sun was risen upon the earth when Lot came unto Zoar. Well, light from the sun, S-O-N, was given before judgment fell, but many ignored it, and they are doing it right now, too. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah, brimstone and fire, from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities, and all the plain, and all the inhabitants of the cities, and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. So she became a monumental warning to those who disobey and favor Sodom in any way. Salt, as you know, is antiseptic. In other words, it's anti-perverse demons, right? Verse 27, And Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he had stood before the Lord. And he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah, and toward all the land of the plain, and beheld, and lo, the smoke of the land went up as the smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass, when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Abraham. Yeah, his prayer for his own counted with God, and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow, when he overthrew the cities in which Lot dwelt. So it was grace for Lot, because he was resisting his directions. It was grace. And Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountain, and his two daughters with him, for he feared to dwell in Zoar. Why did he fear to dwell in Zoar? Could it be because they had the same low life as the rest of the cities? He had learned his lesson, but it was too late. And he dwelt in a cave, he and his two daughters. Well, and because of the sin of Sodom, his daughter's conscience was hardened, and they fell into fornication. The leaven of Sodom had infiltrated his daughters, whom he foolishly raised there. Come out from among them and be separate. The faction and the Satanists do this to their children, sometimes physically, but always spiritually. Verse 37 goes on to say, And the firstborn bare a son and called his name Moab. The same is the father of the Moabites until this day. And the younger, she also bare a son and called his name Ben-Ammi, the same as the father of the children of Ammon unto this day. Now look at this, the seed of this. Ammon and Moab were offspring of Sodom's spirits. They became factious against their own kin as Judases and were judged. All these types are spiritual inbreds, which infects the brain and the gene pool. And words are the seeds of the sower that give life. But words are the seeds of Satan that bring death. And those who listen die. So an angel also came to Daniel to teach him. This is a very good prayer, I think, for today. Daniel 9, 16 through 27. O Lord, according to all thy righteousness, let thine anger and thy wrath, I pray thee, be turned away from thy city, Jerusalem. Jerusalem here represents the apostate leadership of God's people at the time. Thy holy mountain, because for our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and thy people are become a reproach to all that are round about us. And it is so in apostate Christianity today. Now therefore, O our God, hearken unto the prayer of thy servant and to his supplication, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake. Well, amen. Amen. O my God, incline thine ear and hear. Open thine eyes and behold our desolations and the city which is called by thy name. For we do not present our supplication before thee for our righteousness, but for thy great mercy's sake. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake. O my God, because thy city and thy people are called by thy name. And while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God. Yea, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, in other words, they appeared as men, obviously. This is the messenger angel, the head of the messenger angels, right? Whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation, and he instructed me and talked with me. Well, it's silly to say that we cannot speak with angels or listen to them, since we see precedent all over Scripture, right? And said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee wisdom and understanding. So angels speak for God in word of wisdom, knowledge, and prophecy, and give understanding, right? So at the beginning of thy supplication, the commandment went forth, and I am come to tell thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore consider the matter and understand the vision. So obviously he also was a friend of God, right? Mm-hmm. So angels bring interpretation of visions and prophecies. Okay. 24. 70 weeks, and this is weeks of years, we know, are decreed upon thy people and upon thy holy city. Well, I believe an angel from God gave me an interpretation to this that I never heard of men having. And when Jesus came, he began the new covenant, rejecting the old covenant as powerless. The new covenant of born-again people are now Daniel's people. Since the first people crucified the messenger of the covenant, Jerusalem was no longer called in Scripture the holy city. Check it out. Instead, the heavenly, born from above city is clearly the holy city. So, 69 of the 70 weeks was determined on the Old Covenant people. That's where it led up to, that particular time. And when they rejected it, the 70th week is determined on the New Covenant people, including righteous Jews who believed. So many are confused because they haven't made this connection. I'll read on. To finish transgression and to make an end of sins. Well, the Old Covenant couldn't do that. We see clearly in the New that it wasn't able to do that. The law could not make perfect, as Paul said. So God sought a new covenant. The blood of bulls and goats could not take away sin, only cover it temporarily. So Jesus took away sin. And to make reconciliation for iniquity. So those sacrifices didn't reconcile or exchange us to God. Jesus did. And to bring in everlasting righteousness. The law could not do this because it wasn't everlasting in its letter state. And it wasn't the pure righteousness of the New Testament. Many people feel justified by keeping the law, and God says, no, you're not. That does not make it righteous in the letter state. When we bring it into the New Testament in a spiritual state and translate it, it is righteous. So the law only lasted until, listen, the seed should come to whom the promise was due. That's what the scripture says. And that seed was Jesus. And we are righteous through the blood of Jesus. And our text goes on to say, and to seal up vision and prophecy. So, as we are seeing here, the New Testament is giving us the revelation of the shadows and types of the Old Testament parables, because they are parables. For instance, baptism is the fulfillment of circumcision, as Paul said. And we are clearly told the sabbatismos is a different spelling in the New Testament because it has a different meaning. And the meaning is a continual Sabbath rest from man's works are demanded of us in Hebrews 4 and 9. And to anoint the most holy. And Jesus is the Christos, the most holy anointed one. Know therefore and discern that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the anointed one, the prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. It shall be built again with street and moat, even in troublous times. And after the 62 weeks, shall the anointed one be cut off. Of course he was, which was after the 7 weeks in verse 25, showing Jesus being crucified after the 69 weeks were up. There you go. So there was something that happened after the 69 weeks, right? The new sacrifice, the new covenant, exactly. And shall have nothing, and he had nothing in this world, right? He didn't take anything with him. And the people of the prince, okay, notice this. Princes in Daniel are principalities, not men. In this text, chapter 10, 13 and 20, we see that the prince of Persia and the prince of Greece and Michael, the prince of the Lord's forces, all were principalities in the same text. That shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. So those under the principality destroyed the city and the sanctuary, the Roman beast. The Roman principality demon crucified Jesus and destroyed the city and the sanctuary, and in Daniel's vision continued all the way down to the 10 toes of the 10 kings in the last week. Aha. And the end thereof shall be with a flood, and even unto the end shall be war. Desolations are determined. So as it was in 70 AD when Israel and Jerusalem was desolated, okay, that was fulfilled, okay? And the covenant with many starts the last week, okay? When is the covenant with many? It's in our day. Starts the last week, the 70th week of 7 years, with the same Roman principality making that covenant. Notice, it says, and he here in the next verse, 27. And he, in other words, the same principality that was during the end of the 69 weeks, the same one 2,000 years ago, the same principality shall make a firm covenant with many for 1 week. So either you have a 2,000-year-old man here, or he is a principality. Yes, it's very clear. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. And upon the wing or pinnacle of abominations shall come one. This speaks of one abomination that is above the rest of the abominations, right? That maketh desolate. What is an abomination that maketh desolate in our day? It is the mark of the beast. It's given to those who give up the crucified life. The mark is the abomination that makes many of God's New Testament temple desolate of God, for they are reprobated. That's what it is. When God leaves you, you are reprobated, as Revelation says. And even unto a full end, and that determined, shall wrath be poured out upon the desolate. Well, notice, wrath be poured out is not on a building called the temple, but on a people who became the desolate because of the mark. Notice, the desolate here are people who were part of the New Testament temple. Notice, unto the full end is the end of the tribulation / day of the Lord. In the last half of the tribulation, in Revelation 13, the beast makes war on the saints to purify them and to separate the desolated ones from them. Why? Because they took the mark of the beast, but the righteous did not. So now let's go to Acts 8, 26 through 35. But an angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go towards the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza. The same is desert. Well, in what way do angels speak to us? Most often it is not vocal, but in our spirit man. In this case, it was clear instruction and direction, but it could be discernment, revelation, word of knowledge or wisdom, correction, encouragement, promises, etc. And of course, it would be in agreement with the word and nature of God. For as we saw, my name is in him. Name means nature, character, and authority. In essence, we are speaking to the Lord and can converse with him. Commonly, we hear from the Lord through our angel. We must be careful if we are in sin and have selfish motives, because we could hear from another spirit that way. The Lord said he would deceive us in that way if we had an idol, right? And of course, it was an important mission in that it was also a witness to Candace, and Philip was anointed and successful. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was over all of her treasure, who had come to Jerusalem to worship. And he was returning and sitting in his chariot and was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. So now the Spirit spoke to Philip. Okay. So an angel sent Philip, and then the Spirit instructed him in this case. And Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet, and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I except someone guide me? And he besought Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of the scripture which he was reading was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before his shearer is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away. His generation who shall declare? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other? And Philip opened his mouth and began from this scripture preached to him Jesus. So, angels sometimes speak promises or of things to come in faith so that we agree with them and receive by faith what is said. Sometimes they speak faith and we wait to see if it comes to pass. And of course, that's not faith, right? They wait to see if it comes to pass, and it does not, because we are walking by sight, right? So we're tempted to believe they lied to us, but the fault is ours. The angels expect us to believe the word of the Lord. For this reason, they do not speak to some people. Now, look in Luke 1, 13 through 20. But the angels said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, because thy supplication is heard. And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice in his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and he shall drink no wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn unto the Lord their God. And he shall go before his face, that John will go before the face of the Messiah, right? In the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to walk in wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared for him. And Zacharias said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well stricken in years. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak unto thee, and to bring thee these good tidings. And behold, thou shalt be silent, and not be able to speak. Well, first you should notice that angels should be respected. Why shouldn't Zacharias speak? Because it would have been with unbelief, which would hinder the fulfillment of the prophecy. And we are not to speak unbelief in the promises, because that mutes or annuls the promises. And he was going to be silent until the day that these things shall come to pass, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. The Lord did not want him speaking his unbelief. Our faith in the blood of the Lamb and our confession of the promises authorizes the angels to cast down our enemies. For instance, Revelation 12, 7 through 11. And there was war in heaven, Michael and his angels going forth to war with the dragon, and the dragon warred and his angels, and they prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast down, the old serpent, he that is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was cast down to the earth, and his angels were cast down with him. So, some people say demons are not angels. They are angels. They are fallen angels. You just saw it. So notice that they lost their power along with the prince of the power of the air. Does this happen in a lesser way when we as disciples do what the early disciples did? It appears so. Luke 10, 17 through 19 says, And the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject unto us in thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan fallen as lightning from heaven. Notice now it's the demons and Satan. Before it was the fallen angels and Satan. They are the same. And aliens are the same too, folks, in case you don't know it. There's no good aliens. All aliens are demons. That's a deception. So it happened back then with relatively new disciples, so it should happen with us today too. Cast them down. Behold, I've given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. So what are the conditions whereby disciples can do this now? Verse 10 says, I heard a great voice in heaven saying, Now is come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. So most of God's people don't believe in their authority and power to cast down or cast out demons. So they lose before they even get started. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, who accuseth them before our God day and night. And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb. Well, who overcame? Those disciples, those saints on earth, overcame Satan and his angels because of the blood of the Lamb. Because of the blood sacrifice of Jesus, we are covered and guiltless and have authority over sin and Satan. And because of the word of their testimony. So if you have that kind of faith and you believe it and you confess it, you have this testimony. This is also the word witness. Testimony is also the word witness. Because we have confession or witness of our authority over all the power of the enemy, they are cast down. And they love not their life unto death, was the other condition. Because they're living the crucified life, they have power, for the old man is dead. Amen. Well, did you notice, while the good angels were fighting the bad angels, they received their authority from the saints who were overcoming them and were exercising their authority. In other words, those angels go out to fulfill the authority that we have, the witness that we have, the confession that we have. They act on it because they act whenever they hear the word of God, right? So, we have to remember that the angels around us are there to fulfill things that come out of our mouth when they're in agreement with the word of God. Amen. Amen. Well, okay. God bless you, saints. I love you so much, and God bless you.